Hi listeners, welcome to edition 6 of Latter Days in Europe with your hosts David Geens
and Isabel Geens.
Hi Isabel, it was a long time ago when we recorded edition number 5.
Oh wow, I cannot even remember when we did that.
It was 2 summers ago in Sweden.
Oh my goodness, what happened to us?
Well, we became lazy.
Yeah, perhaps that's the reason.
And uninspired until now to start again. So we can consider this as a restart of our podcasting adventures.
Perfect.
Okay, let's see what we have for our listeners today. First of all, we have a story that happened in Germany, in Berlin, mm-hmm. about a candy bomber. Do you know this guy?
Well, of course, I don't know the man in person, but I think it's a wonderful story of what that man did for the kids in Berlin. It's just very heartwarming.
What did he do?
Well, as the word says, or as the title says, he was the candy bomber. So he was an American man who actually gave candy to the kids in Berlin, and he saw that these kids were very, very happy when he gave them candy or chewing gum. So he got inspired, and he took all the candy he could, and he even tied little parachutes onto them. And when he was in the air and flew over Berlin, he just threw the little parachutes out. So the people saw tons of candy in the sky, and the kids were happy. And yeah, well, this man is amazing.
This man is indeed amazing, because just a few days ago, he turned 100 years old.
Well, that's great.
And what I find remarkable is a quote that he gave during an interview for his 100th birthday. And that is, never graduate. Don't think you're graduated for the Lord when you're 60 or 70 or 80. There's always something more you can do to help the Lord and to please somebody.
Wow, that's amazing. He's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a thing we should remember. There's always a small token we can do, a small gift we can give, over a nice word we can say to somebody.
Yes, absolutely. That actually made me think of people in our church. Sometimes, yeah, some people do not have callings, and I think it's a bit sad, because if you think about it, there's always something you can ask the sister or brother to do, and I'm sure that will bless many people, and also for the person himself or herself, you know, it's a good thing to serve, and yeah, it's a great advice the man gave.
Yeah, we personally learned a nice thing to do. Maybe you should tell it about giving a box with lots of small gifts. You received such a box from somebody.
Yeah, that's true. You know, when it's actually, I think, last year or the year before, I don't even remember. I struggled quite hard, and I'm a quite open person on Facebook, so I talked about that. And all of a sudden, there was a sister from the Netherlands. I know her, but she was not really a close friend or anything. But all of a sudden, I received a box, a huge box, with 14 little gifts in it. And there was also a card included. So I had to read the card first before opening every single present, of course. And the card said, you know, open a present each day, and then you will have 14 days of happiness. And actually, to every present, there was a scripture attached. And every single day, you know, I took one of the presents, I read the scripture, and it was like, yeah, it was some kind of miracle, because every single day, the scripture I read, I felt like it was written for me that particular day. So it gave me 14 days of happiness and strength. And that's why I try to do that now with the people I see who are having hard times or who need a little bit support. It's a small thing. The gifts I send are not expensive. Sometimes it's just like a piece of chocolate or some candy bars. But I know even that can rejoice people, can make people happy. So why not do that, you know? So yeah, I love it. It's an amazing thing to do. And then to see the gratitude of people, how happy they are, just only by the fact that I thought about them. You know, it's just, it's a vice versa thing, you know. I make them happy and it makes me happy as well.
Yeah, you taught me that, and I love to do that together with you, is creating the box, thinking about gifts, finding scriptures. It's really 40 days of happiness that we create. And yeah, maybe I don't think we are as successful as the candy bomber, but I hope that the few times we did it, that we created 14 days of happiness each day, a little thing to the persons we gave such a box. And it's a small thing to do, but that's really the example of what I meant, is that you never graduate, and then there is never a moment that you cannot do such a thing. Let me put it otherwise. If you look around, there's always somebody who can use a nice word, who can use maybe a little gift or a little card or just a call. We are now in the middle of a pandemic. Lots of people are lonely. And I sometimes feel inspired, and I had it during second day of General Conference 2 weeks ago, was that that conference inspired me a lot to be more open to such inspiration, to find more people that I can say, hey, I'm thinking of you, of how are you, and just sending a quick WhatsApp message or checking up through Messenger or something like that. Quite simple, but I think, you can really make a difference.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I wanted to say. Sometimes the other people, the other person at the end of the line, you know, perhaps she or he is waiting for that. And that's exactly the thing he or she needs to go on, to start the day and to make the best of it.
Yeah. While talking about General Conference, maybe we can talk also about that as a next topic. What was the thing that you remember the most of this General Conference?
Well, actually, you know, I always have my favorite speakers. You know, when I see them come up to the stand, I know that their talk will be amazing, and that's Elder Holland. You know, the man has, I don't know how to explain. He dares to tell us what's really about, you know. He sometimes sounds quite hard, it sometimes feels as we get punished, or you know what I mean, perhaps, I hope. But his talks always touch me very deeply. But what I also remembered, and actually I cannot remember the name of the elder who gave the talk, but I just remember what he said. And he talked about his son who died. And even when he was dying, and he barely had the strength to sit right up, you know, he could barely stand, or that he still had the will to serve. That's what really, really touched me, you know. Even a little child that has such will to serve is quite amazing, you know. And sometimes I look at myself, and I mean, when I don't feel well, you know, I have like, okay, no, I cannot go to church, you know. I think I'm going to have the flu or anything. But then if you hear that story, you think like, wow, you know, what's a cold or a flu compared to a dying kid, you know? So perhaps we all should try a little harder to serve and to think about little boy. And may he be an example to all of us.
That's a beautiful example. The thing that astonished me the most was the fact that they talked so much about prayer. and praying. It's a thing we take for granted. Okay, we say a prayer when we eat, we pray at evening, but sometimes I think that we forget that it is a real honest communication with our Heavenly Father, or at least I do that sometimes, I forget that sometimes. And prayer is very powerful, and living in the turmoil we're now right in, it's a thing that can help us. It's something that gives us strength, that gives us a clear vision on what will happen. Because I believe that what is happening right now is happening for a reason. And I know that you always tell me everything happens for a reason.
That's right.
And at that moment, then you realize, okay, but what are those reasons? And with the power of prayer, you can find out that there is hope, especially when you get the answer, the inspiration, that you have to read the Book of Mormon, where you can find so many examples of moments where there was sickness and famine and other disasters. There's always a better time coming. And I think by praying, you can look ahead, you can feel ahead, you can feel about the future and about the promise of our Heavenly Father that He will never forsake His people and His children. And that makes it very powerful, because once again, I can imagine that a lot of people are now confused and that they are thinking, why is this happening? Why there is COVID-19? How can it be that there is a loving Heavenly Father while so many of His children are dying? But there is a reason for it. And maybe sometimes we don't see the reason. But I'm quite sure that one of the opportunities is once again, and then I come back again to what I said earlier in this podcast, is that it gives us opportunities to serve, to show that we are, as a people, we are more equipped to serve the Lord, to serve as His servants and to be His angels. Don't you think so?
Yeah, yes. Yes, exactly. Praying is a very powerful thing, you know. And if you're used to do so, if you make it a true habit, like I did, you know, it's sometimes quite funny. Like for example, if I'm out there on the road and I find a good parking spot, you know, I don't just sit down and do say a prayer from a minute. I just say like, oh, thank you, God, you know, something like that. Or, it's sometimes funny, you know. Praying is so personal and so, you can do it anytime. You can find inspiration by it. You can ask for things. You know, my favorite prayers are the ones that I just thank Heavenly Father for something, not the ones that I ask for something. These prayers where you're just grateful, you know, they feel so, so powerful. And while you're saying it out loud, you actually realize what you're all grateful for, you know, because if you ask people, you know, name 10 things that you're grateful for, some people can't even mention 10 things, you know what I mean? So then if you say a prayer out loud and you hear all the words coming from your mouth, it's quite amazing and it gives you a lot of strength, for sure.
Do you know what my favorite prayer is?
No.
There's one blessing that I often pray and say thank you, and this is really my favorite one, and this, I think this is the first time I tell you, and so this is this is a big moment. Do we have some sound effects for that? You know? It's quite simple. And I say, thank you, Heavenly Father, for my wife and my children.
Oh.
Because they are the biggest blessing that I have. And I often think them to the fact that we are sealed for eternity, that we are family forever. And then I'm so grateful that I think, Heavenly Father, even if all the other stuff that is written down and that your prophets have told us is not true, I don't care. This one blessing is enough for me to be faithful. Just because I think that the love that you can feel in your family is the same love, or is it even a small reflection of the love Heavenly Father feels for us? And is a small reflection of the love we can share with others? And I think this is one of the most important things in having faith in Heavenly Father, is about the love he has for us. And everything is combined with that simple fact, is that if you act out of love, if you care for somebody out of love, if you believe in the atonement of Jesus Christ who died for us out of love, then you realize what the gospel is really about. So when I say thanks for you and our two kids, I always ponder about all the other things that are combined with that. And for me, saying thanks for that blessing always brings me to a lot of other blessings that are all combined in the love of our Heavenly Father for us.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, you're right, of course. That's a very personal thing to share. I'm very grateful for that.
Okay, awkward moment. back to General Conference. Other thing that stood out was that everybody was talking about Jesus Christ. A lot of the people who stood at the pulpit also talked about the new normal. And then you start thinking, okay, what is the new normal? And then you had our prophet who said, yeah, maybe the new normal is not living with the virus, but the new normal is living again with Christ in your life.
Mm-hmm. These were beautiful words, so remember that.
So what are the thoughts coming to mind if you hear that?
Oh, well, yeah, that in these crazy times of the pandemic, indeed, you know, everyone focuses on a virus. And as you said before, you know, people start doubting if there is a God, you know, if you see all the misery around you. So I think indeed it is very important to focus, or if you lost your faith in God, to refocus and put Christ as a center in your life again. And I'm sure that things will go a little bit more smooth or a little bit easier if you do that again. You know, you cannot take COVID-19 away, but it will make things, the struggles, for sure, easier. I'm convinced of that.
Another thing that I realized was with talking about the new normal, and it led me to pray about something, is that we are now getting to the new normal, living with the virus, while it's even spreading more and more over here in Europe. Meanwhile, we are looking to reopen church buildings and to have gatherings again, especially for the families who don't have a priesthood holder at home. And I strongly believe, and I completely agree with the decision that the first priority has to go to these people. I can imagine that everybody urges or aches to go to church again, to be reunited again with our brothers and sisters. But yeah, let's face it. It's not about the building. It's about gathering, but first of all, it's about the opportunity to participate in the atonement of Christ by taking of the water and taking of the bread. So while agreeing with this decision, I truly hope that wherever it is possible, that people will find their way again to the church, especially the people who were cut off of the bread and water and the atonement of Christ, or the signs of the atonement of Christ at least, during those last 6 or 7 months. I pray that this doesn't mean that a lot of people will be used to be at home on Sunday and don't spend time thinking about the Sabbath and about Jesus Christ. I pray that everybody, and even more than the ones who were active, will be active or become active again while we are reopening churches and gatherings again. So I'm really concerned about that. I often think about that last few days.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Don't you? Isn't that? Aren't you afraid that a lot of people will get inactive after all those months?
Yeah, I also thought about that, because I think, people sometimes, they can be a little lazy, you know, and if you're in the routine of going to church every Sunday and meeting your brothers and sisters every Sunday, it's easier to keep going. I think indeed the news to start up again, it will for some people be tough, for sure. For example, people with kids, with teenagers, you know, getting out of bed and this and that will ask a serious adjustment again, for sure. And as I said, you know, people have habits, and perhaps people start forgetting to pray, start forgetting to read the scriptures and things like that. So I am sure that many of them will have to increase their efforts again, for sure. And I truly hope that every one of our members will go back to church very enthusiastically. So that's also my prayer.
One of the things that that also got me thinking was a speech of Elder Bednar at an interfaith conference, where he talked about freedom of religion and the fact that during this pandemic, a lot of governments decided that religious gatherings were non-essential, and there were a lot of restrictions on the gatherings. And along with Elder Bednar, I don't want to plea for having more possibilities to come together while there is a risk of spreading this deadly virus. We are the first ones who have to take care of all our brothers and sisters, that we don't infect them. But if there are possibilities, no, let me phrase it otherwise. The fact that sometimes governments agree that 10,000 of people can gather in a football stadium, while they don't allow 20 people together in a church, then I'm sad and a little mad. Then I think, okay, is football or is soccer over here in Europe, is soccer more important than the possibility to talk and about Jesus Christ and to be together with people who want to celebrate the atonement of Jesus Christ?
Well, actually, I want to say two things about that. First of all, I'm sure that there is a financial aspect of that, you know. Soccer teams here in Belgium, everyone knows that, are almost going bankrupt because they don't earn any money anymore, you know, from the ticket sale. So I think the government is a bit under pressure. And so I think that's why they allowed people back into the stadium. But is it a wise thing to do? I don't know. But as in everything, you know, money is very important. So that's one. And second, you know, we live in Belgium, which is a Catholic, Rome Catholic country. And there are a lot of rules for the Catholic churches. They can come together and stuff like that. Our church here is not well known. So you cannot ask people to set up rules about something they absolutely don't know. And I'm sure that some of our church, maybe, I don't know, some leaders will have tried to contact the government and convince them to do certain things. But again, I think it's the lack of understanding or the lack of information that is the big problem here. So, yeah, I don't know. I think the only thing we can do is wait and hope that one day they will find the information and also give us green light to gather again.
Yeah, but I'm talking about any religion or any faith group. I don't want to talk especially about our church. It's for everybody that I think, okay, faith, religion is essential for people who really believe. It's part of their identity. And yeah, it shouldn't be labeled as non-essential. I want to call upon leaders to think about where there are possibilities. Please think about the people who are of any kind of faith or religion. Give us the possibility to gather in a safe environment, and we will do everything possible. Because faith is so important, it is part of an identity, but I think also for certain religions it can even help in putting some counter message against the virus. I think some people will even trust their religion leaders more than they will trust the government. So yeah, I think there should be a change in the way the political leaders think at this moment.
Yeah, but you know, if you look at Facebook, you know, Facebook is full of, you know, every decision the government makes, there are groups of people who are against it. I think it must be so very difficult for these leaders to please everyone. And everyone has his own reason to get their way, you know, to do what they want. So I think you cannot blame the government. I'm sure they try their best. And as you said, you know, we can do a lot at home. And of course, we miss our brothers and sisters, for sure. But that's the way it is, you know. That's the COVID-19 situation. So I think we just have to wait a little longer and to try our best and make the best of it. And one day, I'm sure, one day we'll be all back together. And maybe one day we will even forget what all happened with COVID-19.
That's a good thought. Okay, let's make that our conclusion. Let's look forward and think about a second wave of love and about caring for each other instead of thinking of a second wave of this virus.
Absolutely, let's do that.
Okay. Dear listeners, thank you for joining us again, finally, with this sixth episode of Latter Day in Europe. Please tune in to our podcast series. We will come again very soon with more news, more thoughts. If you have any questions for us, please don't hesitate to contact us. You can find us on Facebook, where you'll find our contact details. Thank you, and until next time.
Bye.
Bye.